Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. And so we were just going through, yesterday, we were just going through the beginning of how to kickstart your county organization. Let's first, because one of the things I've kind of failed to give you is, what is your goal? Why are you doing this? Well, your goal is to create a constitutional county. In other words, you want your government and all your public servants to be in full compliance, or to move, you know, dedicated to moving into full compliance to the Constitution. Now, I don't want to create unreasonable expectations, because you can actually create, you know, everybody that says we want to do this and we're doing these things that are unconstitutional because we have no choice, because the state is mandating that we do these things. And then you're calling the state out to doing that. The federal government is mandating you doing these things. And so we're calling them out. The only way we can get the federal government's mandates to go away is to get enough of the states to stand up and say these are unconstitutional. The only way we're going to get the state mandates for the counties in doing things is to get enough counties to demand that the states actually stand down, cease and desist doing things that are violating the Constitution. So the goal has to be to start in your county to make it a constitutional county. So any citizen or group of citizens, a pair of people, you got two, that's better. You got three, that's even better. Four, that's more. And as you keep on growing, then you're actually creating an organization that can be built and grow based on these functions and principles that we're trying to help you out with. We've laid this all out. This has actually been provided to other organizations. And we've, in deriving this and or extrapolating this content, I started doing this 2 years ago with the National Liberty Alliance. And so this is how we've kind of basically distilled all of this information. Anyway, any group of citizens or individual who's willing to lead their county to become a constitutional county will be able to do this, but you just have to possibly start off with an overlap or shared functions of the roles that we covered yesterday. Those roles being communications, political relations, or public relations, I mean, recruiter, trainer, petition manager, and events coordinator, because petitions is your foundation. First Amendment petitions and constitutional compliance are the foundation of your organization. Many of these functions will overlap, and some people can do, you know, multiple hats. As a matter of fact, you need multiple recruiters. You need everybody in your organization to recruit. Just like in Christianity, every member of Christianity should be proclaiming the gospel. So, proclaiming the good news, the truth. Anyway, so before I go too much further, let me just basically say this, that this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, it's all about taking back your government. That's exactly what we're trying to help you understand, that this is what you can do. So we're going to go through this. Now, as I go through this, and as I've gone through all this other content, think about this. How would it be if this radio show was being broadcast on your AM radio in your county? It's where I'm going through the details of what need to be done, you know, the different roles. And as people listen to this, they can say, you know, I'd love to be an events coordinator for this organization. I'd love to be a petition manager or a PR guy, a social media guy. Because the more you expand on these roles and functions, the more you're actually going to be able to grow your organization. And folks, it's all about the truth. It's all about letting people understand and know what the truth is. There's not too many people in America today that completely deny the truth. Most people are willing to accept the truth. And when you're standing on the truth, that means they're going to accept you. So, as you go through this, the framework of the unorganized militia needs to be modeled after the political framework of the county or parish as they are subdivided. So when you look at, you know, a given county, there are these districts, there are these, you know, wards or, you know, smaller subgroups and breakdowns of that regional area we call a county or parish. Now, the First Amendment petition and the signature drives that you use to hold public servants accountable must be used to build each of these subdivisions. So like in your county, if you have districts, you know, in one district, you may have a large, you know, population center, and you need to be collecting First Amendment petitions there. You need to start collecting First Amendment petitions up in the second district and up in the third district and up in the fourth district, however many districts you have in your county, so that you start targeting whether they be the community center, whatever the biggest community center, that's where you want to go first. And, oh, by the way, if you think you're going to get shut down, make sure you have a copy of that fourth petition so that you can actually get people to petition that particular business. Because now when they come out and say, you can't do this here, then now they become your whole focus. And you get people to come to Safeway or come to Walmart or whatever the business is, to basically rally in demanding a peaceable assembly, demanding your rights of a peaceable assembly, and demanding your rights to be able to petition government for the redress of grievances that a business like Safeway exists in denying your rights to assemble and to hold government accountable. And we need to demand that our state and county, our government, hold Safeway accountable by shutting them down, punishing them, or whatever is necessary to ensure that they do not try to enforce any law that violates your privileges or immunities guaranteed by the Constitution. That's exactly what the 14th Amendment has made it impossible for states or businesses to do. And so this is your breakthrough. This is how you can get through in helping people start understanding, wow, we have these rights and privileges that are protected by the Constitution. They can't shut us down. Wow, how novel is this? Each full year of active service, one of the things that we want to actually do as an end in mind, each full year of active service that you perform in this community organization, because we want to legitimize this actual organization, that people that are working within it should not have to do or be called on jury duty, should not have to be called on, you know, any of the other types of public services that we need to start setting up. But folks, we need to be far more active in our community. And as we start taking this this migration towards constitutional compliance, I can see America changing back to having to have only a single income family, where you don't have to have, you know, mom out of the home or dad out of the home, whoever is the best domesticator, nurturer for the children, and, you know, homemaker, whoever that is. You know, you won't necessarily have to have a parent out of the home. We need to get back to those types of things. And the mechanism of doing that is bringing things back full circle. So as we get into the third page, because what we just kind of covered was the second page. The second page is basically the most important thing is having an end in mind. But you have to understand that your First Amendment petition is the center of all of this, and that you need to go into these other civic activist organizations for recruiting, because there's people that are already there that have already, you know, gotten involved in an organization to do something very similar. And I'm telling you something, if you're going to a Republican Party, you don't feel like you're holding government accountable. You don't feel like you're really making any change. You feel like you're just a spoke in the wheel of moving the Republican agenda, moving the party agenda forward and trying to maintain relevance for the party. Well, isn't it time we held and maintained relevance for the Constitution instead of the party? I mean, wow, that isn't that a novel concept? Putting Constitution over party and over other interests? There you go. So as we move into the third page, as we look at basically this organization, you're going to create for your county, your fundamental leadership will be the Central Committee. And your Central Committee will be made up of, you know, what we call subdivision committees and committee chairs. So you'll have a subdivision chair and co-chair, and you'll have a county chair and co-chair. And so at the county central chair, he will basically, or she will basically be leading the organization and making sure that roles are being fulfilled, that responsibilities are being executed, accountability is being done, so forth and so on. That's what leaders do. Leaders don't just sit down and I want to make up a law. Leaders actually make sure that the organization is operating. So this is what the difference between being, you know, somebody out there getting people to come in, because there's people that love recruiting. They just love being able to talk and so forth. Executives, they have to have a different kind of mindset. They have to understand what it's going to take to make sure that all these objectives are getting done. Because if all of a sudden you're only recruiting, then you're not organized, you're not training, and so you're just bringing people in to become disinterested and then leave. When people start getting educated, they start becoming more invigorated, they get more involved and more engaged. So education is really important. So there's lots of things that have to be done. We'll be right back after these two messages.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what you're going to find is based on the size and population and structure of your county, that's really how you're going to create the framework of your county central committee. If you don't have any districts, then you may not have any district subcommittees. But as your organization grows, you may need to create subcommittees, or I should say subdivisions of some kind, depending, you know, and they may be communities. I mean, I can look at, you know, a county in Wyoming where the county may have five towns. And so all the people in between those towns wouldn't count to, you know, not even a town. And so, you know, when you have such a small population county, then how do you get organized? Well, you'd get organized by the towns instead of whatever the subdivision is that you can create, so that people will have a central area where they can meet on a regular basis. And then once a month, the whole county would meet. Now, everybody, so unlike a political party, everybody must be a representative for their precinct. This kind of forces everybody to basically choose whoever is the best or understands the best, the Constitution the best. So let me give you an example. If you want to challenge somebody that is a precinct committee officer, or actually, let's not call them officers, let's call them representatives, because that's what I have on the board here. A precinct representative, if you don't believe they understand the Constitution, then you can request somebody creating an unbiased test to basically determine whether that person understands it or not. I mean, what is it we want? Do we want people to be our shills or to, you know, to become corrupt? Or do we want people to be the best in understanding the Constitution? Well, when it comes to our government and our representation, we should be wanting the best. I mean, when you want a surgeon to operate on your child, you know, like brain surgery, nerve surgery, whatever, pulmonology, whatever it is, don't you want the best? So would you go into the guy that, you know, was forced to be advanced because of some political correctness, because of some, what do they call that, affirmative action type of program? No, you want the best. And so you need to make this organization so that it fairly allows the best to actually obtain these positions. It's not about whether somebody, you know, can only have one term. You may want to do that, but I think that that's just ludicrous. If James Madison was alive today, I believe that the precinct that he lived in, he would be able to be the precinct representative for those people for his entire lifetime. He would always be that guy, unless he decided that he didn't want to be the representative. He wanted to retire and let somebody else do it. Then it falls upon somebody else. But we first have to get people to want to be there, and then we have to get people to want to be, you know, if they believe that they're actually more they understand the Constitution better than their current representative, then there should, instead of going into an election, instead of waiting for the election, then you can basically do a vetting questionnaire or test to determine who is the best. As far as I'm concerned, I believe that what we want to actually see is we want, as an electorate, now this is going to be a problem because some people may not like this, but we have to start voting for those people who understand the Constitution the best and those who are willing to demand full compliance to the Constitution. And if we actually get public servants to do that, that means that they're not there to put money in their pocket. These people are going to be as, I won't say uncorruptible, but they will actually be less corruptible than the person that has, you know, far less standards, far less understanding. The guy that, well, I just want to be able to be flexible so that, you know, when something good comes my way, I can take advantage of it. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So the subcommittees are an important part of the organization. If you don't have subcommittee, and I think you will, I don't think that there will be a county that won't have a subcommittee, because counties are usually large areas. Now, there are some. See, there's all these different cases, because if you look at Georgia, the city of Atlanta is how many counties? I mean, that's how small counties are in Georgia and how big Atlanta is. And there's subdivisions, boroughs, whatever they call them. And I don't know that, you know, the naming vernacular, the nomenclature of, you know, how they break down these communities. But bottom line, you know, we need to start looking at how we do break those down. And you make the best decisions. These are your organizations, and everybody and every state is different. And God bless every state for being different.
because there may be some real benefits the way they've been doing it in one state, conversely to another state. And both could be really benefiting from the way they do it. You will know what's best. But bottom line is your precincts are your representatives, and they're basically voting for the people that they represent. They're just like, this is almost like a little body of Congress. This is a full voluntary thing, and that's why precinct representatives should not be, because you're actually functioning and you're actually going to have to take an oath that you're going to be a precinct representative. And it's not about party. Just, folks, if you start understanding this, this is very similar to how parties operate, but this is party free. This is all focused on the Constitution. And so you've got your precinct representatives and or your subdivision, you know, leadership as well, or chairs that, you know, of all the precincts. You may have a town that has three precincts, a city that has three. You may have a city that only has one. And so whoever that precinct representative would be the subdivision committee chair as well. But anyway, as you kind of look at the other two roles, you have the executive committee that's a part of the central committee. Now, the executive committee is on the next sheet. And the librarian and or the library is a part of all committees. And it goes, this all transponds all the way up to the state and as well as at the federal level, the national level. We should have a library. We should have access to the truth. And access to the documents that will tell you, like the ratification debates, exactly how a very specific phrase in the Constitution was defined. How did they define that? Boom. And now you know what the truth is. You don't go by some politician that's wearing a black robe telling you what they want you to hear so that you will believe them. We've got to stop doing that. I believe that the truth is based on what the framers stated at the time in getting the states. And this all falls under contract law too. But anyway, so let's go into what we would call the executive committee and or the executive committee membership. We've got all of these different functions that kind of fall underneath this. Now, actually, there's a part of the executive committee that is, you know, a little bit unique. Now you have, you've got your central committee chair and vice chair. You have your subdivision. You have your, and if you want to make it so that your representatives, your precinct representatives are a part of this, then you can, and they should be. As far as I'm concerned, we want to make sure that we have a mechanism where everything can be done. So maybe you won't have the ability to get everybody in. And I'll give you an example. Spokane County has it's a large county, and they just do not have a physical room other than the convention center to be able to bring everybody in to doing the voting and so forth. However, they have these district meetings where the voting can occur and those votes can be certified and those votes can. So in other words, when you have to choose who's going to be the new chair and you can't have, you know, an organizational meeting because you just don't have a venue big enough for everybody, then you can have it done by the divisions of, you know, the precinct representatives and so forth voting. And that's how you do it. I mean, we're not tied to having to have, you know, a football stadium. We're not tied. We can work at the smallest levels and still get the job done. So anyway, so you have your county commissioners that are a part of this too, because aren't they representatives? And your county committeemen. Now, the county committeemen is something that we've got to get into. The whole point of making constitutional counties is restoring the county committeemen to this organization, because this is all about constitutional compliance, right? It's all about holding public servants accountable, and your county committeemen should be an elected official elected by the people, because that's the guy that would be going to the state house during legislative sessions and or attending the specific board meetings. I mean, this is a permanent position where a person travels a lot. They're constantly going, and but they don't reside there. They're only going to do and conduct the business of the county. You have a petition director that's a part of this. It's a voting member. You have a community watch director for security purposes. You have a militia commander that is a part of this, as well as, and so, you know, that would be your sheriff or what have you. Now, one of the things I put into this is this, if you have this broken down to where you've got a militia commander and a sheriff, which is fine, the sheriff would not be a voting member. Only he would only vote to break the tie if necessary. We'll get into the rest of the membership of the voting membership for the executive committee right after this.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
In doing this, now, I want to be clear here that this is not a rigid structure, other than there are very specific things that you actually do have to have these functions, such as your first a First Amendment petition director. You need to have somebody managing and overseeing First Amendment petitions for your entire county that's communicating with the other counties as well as the entire state, that is all part of this whole First Amendment petition network. Because if we as citizens are organized, we will make sure that in every recess, in every corner of this republic, all public servants are equally being held accountable. If we're going to create an immune system that actually manages and oversees our public service and our government, we have to be that active. So we're actually looking at creating a much larger government structure that is not a paid government structure. Folks, you get the government you pay for, or you get the government you get involved in. And I'm telling you, the government, the self-government system is always going to ensure that your liberties will always be maintained. When you start hiring people and giving them power, before you know it, they all of a sudden have created a way of taking your money, and they basically have made themselves kings over you. This is what's happened always. History is filled with this. So when we're looking at this structure, you're going to realize that some of these things may not work. You may not be able to do at this point in time, like common law court director. You may have a judge at your county, but he won't know anything about common law. But it doesn't mean you don't need this to become a constitutional county. You will need to invoke and restore common law as a part of your county. And so the people and the citizens of your county will have access to common law court. In other words, a court that you're not paying for everything so that these things don't become money-grubbing, you know, institutions where the legal system actually becomes that rich. Ah, but a common law court, that's, you know, where more people get voluntold into doing and supporting these things. You know, when we start functioning and behaving, because bottom line, all of these things will guide us and direct us towards better behavior as individuals within our society and as society itself. Another role, obviously, I've already mentioned the sheriff, but there's a secretary. You need to have a, you know, somebody that's making sure everything's being documented, being, you know, archived, all of that type of stuff. A treasurer, somebody that's overlooking the cost of the organization itself, and an ISP type of person, somebody that's overseeing the infrastructure, the technology, that type of stuff. And so this is your voting member or the voting membership. Now, the next page, which is the fifth page, page five, this is where we actually start looking at the subcommittees, because now you're going to have subcommittees. And the subcommittees don't necessarily, directors of subcommittees don't necessarily make the cut of becoming a voting member. So let's say you may be a precinct officer within your district, but you're, as a precinct officer, you may also in your district be an events committee chair. And there may be at the county level an events committee, and then each district would have either a chair or a subcommittee for everybody that would be working and being a part of supporting the events, you know, such as a bunch of guys in each county that want to make sure that there's beer, bread, and wings, or gals that want to have cookies, milk, and you know, what have you. So the whole point is that you have to have people that are understanding what needs to be done and what has to support the upcoming events at the county level or at the district level. Now, the county level would rely upon the districts to basically feed them. And so let's also look at one of the things that we have to keep in mind, that funding and or raising money for these organizations is very important. I mean, when you look at a party chair, the party chair of a county that has really two hats. They want to make sure that they have money coming in so to support the operations of the party, as well as, you know, getting the outcomes of the elections and those types of things done as well, and the which is basically your operations. Well, for us, it's the same thing, other than the fact that we're looking for constitutional compliance, not getting what we want done. In other words, we don't want to necessarily make these people suffer, take from them and give to these people, that type of thing. What we want to do is make sure that everybody is in full compliance with the Constitution. This is how we get rid of parties, folks. This is how we get rid of parties, because we're going to be proving that constitutional compliance has nothing to do with making sure government or, you know, your state or your federal person brings back a company and brings jobs or what have you to your community. Communities will grow on their own because of the resources and what have you. You'd be surprised. Look at Wyoming. Nobody thought Wyoming would grow, and it was going through a boom. And the same thing with the Dakotas. Why? Because fracking and oil and other, you know, elements, whether that be coal or what have you. And these things get stifled. Anyway, now we're going to go through these subcommittees. So you have a constitutional compliance committee. In other words, this is your education, you know, graduates, those people who really understand and are working, and there's a relationship between your constitutional compliance committee and your First Amendment petition. So they kind of work together in helping go through these First Amendment petitions. And the First Amendment Petition Committee really, you know, manages getting these petitions out, getting the signatures, accounting for those, and so forth, and works with the county committee in making sure that you don't necessarily have to have all these different subcommittees if you can manage it at the county level. You need to break it down to the degree of how many people you need to get involved and how many people can get involved. If you're a rural county, then you probably everything is going to be done at a county committee. And so you'll have to have these different places where in one town you'll have the petitions and meetings, the petition committee meeting, and in another town you'll be having your events committee meeting and training and education committee, working on the curriculum, working on, you know, the videos, what needs to be presented so that people understand these very specific topics. And you kind of have to have a curriculum and develop a curriculum of ensuring that everybody understands all of these fundamentals of American republicanism, so forth and so on, ex post facto laws and bills of attainder, all of these different things that people just need to have a basic understanding of. Infrastructure committee. And infrastructure committee is looking at and basically assessing the county infrastructure, your roads, your waterways, your power, your everything that is a part of your infrastructure. If you don't have sewage and everything is on septic, then there you go. I mean, that's a part of or not a part of your infrastructure. That's an individual dwelling infrastructure, individual business infrastructure. Commerce committee. A commerce committee is basically a committee that looks and oversees and manages what are all the businesses. Are they constitutionally compliant? Is there a business that is actually harassing the religion or, you know, for mandating jabs, those types of things? Because the Commerce Committee needs to be looking at that. The Property Committee, the property being the private property, county property, the Property Committee makes sure that certain property rights are being constrained or being restored. Why is it that you don't have full rights to your property? Because somebody said a long time ago that they could sever these things and say, you don't have mineral rights. Show me in the Constitution where the federal government was delegated the authority to dictate mineral rights. Show me in your state constitution where the people actually gave and granted that authority to the states. Your property is your property, and those things must be restored. Press and Media Committee. Overseeing and looking and managing the press to find out if it's grinding a narrative and becoming a propaganda mill or whether it is actually providing objective journalism and informing the community. We need to highlight those that are nefarious, that are trying to grind agendas. We need to excoriate them and get rid of them. A vetting committee. Here you go. An actual vetting committee for the organization and for public servants and so forth. And you can see how the Constitution Compliance Committee can feed this. Same thing with the Elections Committee. Same thing with the Common Law and Legal Committee. Common law and legal, you know, whether that be law, whether that be, or I should say, there's equity law and there's criminal law and so forth. So, bottom line, there's a committee that's kind of overseeing and making sure that the rights are being maintained by our legal system of the county. And this would be, you know, this is that kind of feeds into that common law committee, common law director. The community watch committee, or this is the security committee. It's kind of like the physical community or the militia themselves. See, we haven't created a militia under this infrastructure, and this committee would then be maintained and managed by the time we do create a militia, because the militia should be broken out throughout all the communities to ensure that every community has some representation of security, some form of representation in these committees to ensure that the news is being passed. Hey, there's, you know, a group of people that have just moved in that don't speak English. We don't know where they're from. Well, we got to get rocks and we got to get torches and pitchforks. And I'll be right back after this. Hang on.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we look at these structures and organizations, bottom line, government grows as we want it to grow. The problem is that we have created something, and these somethings become monoliths, and they become much bigger and more costly. Government, either we pay for a very elaborate government, or we get involved and maintain our liberties and those things that appertain to us, our rights, our property, those things. So we can't go back to Stone Age. We have a level of complexity within our society, from infrastructure, from technology, communications, those types of things. So some of the things that really need to be that's not mentioned here is we need to actually sit down and actually create constitutions for your counties. And as you start doing this, we have to actually be looking at, once you get enough counties in your state that have created their own constitutions, then that's when you start looking and actually having working groups about what do you do in dismantling your current state constitution and moving it to serve the people of the state better by decentralizing most of the powers and basically reduce your state to a federal type of, or a general type of government, where it does not have the consolidated powers, that it only has the taxing ability, and it basically supports the county, and that the county does most of the work. That's where most of your government will form. And as a matter of fact, if you really think about this, the cities where there's lots of people, they'll have monstrosity governments, and they won't be able to affect the governments of other counties because those other counties will be sovereign. But see, when the city gets its way of using a democracy, it controls the state, and it literally destroys the entire state by affecting everybody. So we have to start getting smart in breaking down even cities, where cities and counties have to be broken down even more. So it's smart when you look at Atlanta, when you start looking at, and you may want to consider this, folks, this is just a suggestion. You may want to look at Atlanta as probably a pretty decent model, and or actually start breaking down a city to where a city has multiple counties. And by separating those counties, you can actually start creating a way of not necessarily controlling, but a way from keeping or constraining the city from becoming a monstrosity. Because if we start looking at congressional districts, right, and we realize that representative government at the congressional layer shouldn't be anything greater than 30,000 right now based on the Constitution. They should not be representing more than 30,000 people. Maybe you're going to want to have a county that is, you know, can be no more than 30,000 people. And then what you can do is you can create county clusters to where you will have, well, actually, maybe that would be a district. I don't know. I think this moves us into a working group space to where we can actually start throwing these ideas down to say, how can we govern ourselves better so that we don't have these monstrosity state houses and we can actually move things out towards the county where counties have all the latitude and they have the ability to either inflict themselves with all of this stuff or have complete free market healthcare, free market everything. We want to move down that path to where government is so, I'll just say, innocuous. It is just, it's not there. It's not in our face. It is serving us and making sure that we're getting what we need. You know, when we look at our public utilities, that in itself is a government entity that is a profiteering organization like your electrical company, your natural gas company. And why is that happening? Why should that not be a part of the county infrastructure and a part of the state infrastructure? And it's just one, you know, one piece of a cog where we can keep it streamlined. Understanding how to maintain and streamline, because remember when I started this segment, or maybe it was yesterday, I forget, it's been a while, and I've said a lot of different things, but the whole point is that it is in the nature of humans to aggrandize and to create empires where people feel better because they're commanding over more people. You know what? We're not here to make anybody feel better. I don't think you want to be, you know, used in such a way. Nobody wants to be used in such a way. So we have to start using the wisdom that the framers did and trying to maintain, you know, a reasonably constrained government. But we can't, we cannot allow electricity to be maintained in a private sector. If you can't have a true competition, if we're at a point where competition is infeasible for electricity, for water, those types of services, roadways, then that is a legitimate form of government. Now, healthcare, that's completely different. Education, that's completely different. Do we want to have standards? These are the types of questions that we want to look at. And that's what these committees should actually be doing. I'm going to tell you something. As people start getting smart in these different things, and oh, by the way, the smart person in the county is going to be going from the property committee to the commerce committee to the infrastructure committee to the medical or the health committee and over to the events committee. The more rounded we become, the more we start being able to see things at a bigger picture and at a bigger level to where we can go, wow, you know, let's start applying, you know, some of these principles that, you know, that actually serve every type of these market spaces, every type of, you know, infrastructure, public services, private services, and so forth, so that we can actually have the full benefit of a self-government. But the last thing we want is to create a caste system. The last thing we want is to create a system where we have the haves and the have-nots. We don't want that. We want everybody to feel proud that they're providing for themselves, that everybody has the opportunity to, you know, to do good things and become a valued member of the community, but not to become a scourge of the community, to be entitled to say, you got to give me this, you got to give me that. I know that we have a long way to go, because as long as we have the ability for people to become rich, we will have the ability for people to become poor. And what that means is that, and as Christ said, you'll always have those, the poor, the indigent, those without among us. They'll always be there. And so this goes back to making and identifying the important institutions to create a symbiotic relationship with the compassionate services. Because do you want government to be involved in compassionate services, or do you want your churches to start stepping up and taking these things over? I honestly think that the churches is the bastion. The churches is the best institution. It is the best place to being able to give people compassionate services and to maintain their focus and actually improve and deliver the best compassionate services possible. If the goal is to never make it so that one person is locked into requiring compassionate services, unless it is a physical disability, unless, you know, grandma doesn't have anybody, you know, she didn't have any kids. She was, you know, grandpa wasn't able to, you know, get along with a woman. He was just a crotchety old man, never had kids, nobody to take care of him, and now he can't take care of himself. We need to have a mechanism in our society to do this. And folks, churches is the only way to do this. It has been proven that it actually gets done when it's left to churches. When it's left to government, this is where abuses occur in every mechanism, in every way. We have to learn how to make it so we can govern ourselves and creating this symbiotic relationship. I think we'd be better off having, you know, government coming out and making sure the churches are doing the best they possibly can, and making sure the government is doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. So how do we do this? We all have to be involved. Now, there's a couple more pages here, and I've got maybe a minute left. And currently we're on page 5 of this presentation. And so what we want to do is kind of give you an overview of where we've kind of covered. We've covered, you know, starting with an end in mind, creating constitutional counties and what you have to do, the basic functions of getting this started, and then getting organized, creating your central committee, creating these voting committees and so forth. When we start looking at this constitutional county, there are going to be some very specific things that will be exit criteria that we want to discuss as well. So we're going to cover some of the roles within a constitutional county, some of the administrative and operational roles specifically. And again, this is not a hardcore solution. You've got to be flexible, because every county is different. Every group is different. Every state is different. We can't walk in and say everything is black and everything is white, or black and white. It's just not that simple. It's complex, but it's easy if we have the right principles in understanding the best way to apply governance and compassion. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. www.theshowisponsoredbyreclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.